Hi, everyone, and welcome to this episode, this brand new series that Lindsay and I are doing, and we're calling it the Girardian Virtual Reflections on the Lectionary. Is that what we're calling it? What are we calling it? No, what are we calling it?
Well, I mean, I'm calling it Girardian Virtual Bible Study. Use the VBS initials because they're easy to remember. But yes. Now they stand for something else. So
I like it.
Just confuse everyone.
I like it. Well, I gave a little nod to our good friend Paul Nectarline for his Girardian Reflections on the Lectionary, which are always really helpful for anybody studying the Lectionary, which is the Bible readings that most pastors use on Sundays to lead us through the Bible. And it goes through cycles. The A cycle is the Matthew. A is Matthew. Yeah. B is Mark.
Mark. C is Luke. Just the same order as the Bible. So.
Right? Yes, I know that.
Yeah.
And we just finished with Mark. And so the new year starts this Sunday.
Yep. So happy new year.
Happy new year. Oh, that's so lame joke. I don't like that joke. It's a good joke. Happy new year. It's not a joke. It's true.
I don't mean it as a joke. I mean, it is, you know.
I know. Happy new year, everyone. Cause we're starting a new year with the Gospel of Luke. I like the Gospel of Luke.
I do too.
I like them all. Luke might be one of my favorite. He's in my top four.
It's in my top four as well.
Awesome. Okay. So what we're going to do on Wednesdays is Lindsay and I are going to get together and we're going to have a little virtual Bible study. So if you want to join us in on this Bible study, you can make comments and we will bring your comments and questions in. And it's going to be a good time.
Yeah. All right. So, well, why don't we go ahead and get started with the Advent Gospel Lectionary, the first gospel of the liturgical year is coming up this Sunday. So why don't we just get started with reading it? Would you like me to read it, Adam?
Yeah, just hold on a minute. I was trying to share it and it just got all weird on me. So you heard some stuff in the background. So yes, I'll go ahead and read it. And unless you want to. Do you want to read it? Go ahead and read it.
All right, I'll read it. So it is Luke 21, 25 through 36. Okay. So the coming of the Son of Man. There will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, and on the earth distress among nations, confused by the roaring of the sea and the waves. People will faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now, when these things begin to take place, stand up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Then he took them. Then he told them a parable. Look at the fig tree and all the leaves. As soon as they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is already near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away.
Yeah, that's good apocalyptic stuff. And one of the things that's weird about Advent, or which is seemingly weird about Advent, is that the first Sunday of Advent is the Sunday of hope. And the lectionary puts us with an apocalyptic reading. And usually people do not, when they think of apocalypse, they do not think of hope.
Right. But we're working on that, aren't we?
Yes. Yes. Rene Girard says that apocalypse is actually supposed to bring up hope. And a lot of progressive liberal Christians like myself avoid apocalypse. And it's one of the reasons that many people avoid the lectionary, is because we don't know how to interpret apocalypse, because we've let others do it for us. And they've played the game where apocalypse doesn't inspire hope. It inspires fear, end of the world, destruction.
Or it inspires hope for a narrow selection of people or an elect few. If it's not hope for everyone, it's not hope. Mm-hmm. If it's not good news for everyone, it's not good news. So, you know, we begin in a scary, fearful place. And Jesus tells us that when these terrifying things happen, great distress upon the earth, that our redemption is at hand. And 2 weeks ago, we talked about another apocalyptic text. So that was the end of the liturgical year, you know, and now we're at a new beginning. So we begin and end in a place of Jesus telling us to have hope in the midst of our fear. And last week, when Jesus said, you will see these signs, last week, or 2 weeks ago, Jesus said, you will see all these signs, but don't pay any mind to them. And now he's telling us to stand up. So he's telling us not to put theological value in the violence itself, but to have hope through it all.
Yes. And one of the things that I find hopeful about it is that he doesn't say bury your head in the sand. Like the world feels like it's falling apart, and don't normalize it. Don't start thinking, oh, this is just the way that the world is. And this is one of the things that's so important about the Jewish Christian tradition, is that they say that there's something wrong with the world. Like, this isn't how it's supposed to be. And what happened, as you say, it's not God's violence, which is where a lot of people go wrong with apocalypse. Jesus totally secularizes violence. He makes it human. Mm-hmm. It's not divine. And this is one of the things that a lot of modern Christians say, you're just making this up, that there's no violence in God, right? So they'll make this move. But from the very beginning of church history, Christians were transformed in their understanding of God by the cross and the resurrection of Jesus, where there is absolutely no violence. There's no revenge shown in the cross or in the resurrection of Jesus. There's this great ancient letter called the Letter to Diognetus. And let me just read a little bit of it. He says that God sent Christ to persuade, not to compel us. And here's the money quote: for violence has no place in the character of God. That's what Jesus shows us, that violence has no place in the character of God. So part of apocalyptic hope is this truth that Jesus shows us, that there is no violence within God. So where is the violence? It's within human. It's us. And so what is hopeful about that? It's we get to take responsibility for our violence. No longer under Jesus can we project our violence upon God.
Right. I mean, I think before centuries of just justification and trying to, okay, Jesus shows us a completely new understanding of God. Not completely new, because it came through the Jewish scriptures, but there was a human understanding that God is powerful, mighty, and on your side if you're a winner, because if you're a winner, then obviously the strong and the mighty is with you. But all the victims of violence are victims of God's wrath, and human violence was projected onto God, and God's violence was projected onto what God's doesn't have violence, but what we perceive as the violence of God just continued our human cycle. So our misunderstanding of God's nature continued our cycles of violence. And, you know, Girard goes into the science behind it, but basically violence begets violence. Mm-hmm. And the other thing is that winning feels so good that it felt like God was with us when we won. But Jesus came and identified with God and then died on a cross, died the death of a condemned criminal. And it was so clear then, especially with the resurrection and the vindication of Jesus's message and his forgiveness, you know, his lack of violence in his response, all of that made it so clear where the trajectory of the Hebrew scriptures were going all along, which is that violence is no part of God. And when we see what humans did to Jesus, it was so clear from the beginning that all of the violence put onto him was human in origin. And then layers of trying to fit a nonviolent God into a violent world and theological justifications and all of this theological BS has clouded so many minds with the idea that God is violent and that the cross is somehow God's violence, even though God is the one suffering.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, Wesley asks a really good question. I'm not quite sure how to answer it. So Wesley, if you can provide some more, maybe you have an answer for it. I'm not sure, but he asks, how is hope different than optimism? Do you have any thoughts on that? Hope versus optimism?
Hope. I'm going to go in the context of this, of the scripture we're reading now, this text. It says there will be great distress upon the earth. And where I find hope is that Jesus came into the midst of distress before. He was born into a world of distress and violence, just as it is now. And honestly, I don't know if I see the world getting better. I mean, I think optimism would be the sense that things are going to be okay, and I don't necessarily see that. But I have hope, because when God first revealed God's self in the midst of crisis, now we know how to find God in the crises. So there are people seeking refuge at our southern border. Jesus is with them, and Jesus is in every one of them. So we have an opportunity now to recognize Christ in the midst of them. Afghanistan has had more bombs dropped on it this year than any other year, which is really saying something. I mean, the war is not over there. People of Afghanistan are being killed and dying from displacement and their land being destroyed. And Jesus is with them, and Jesus is in them. Jesus is in the people in Yemen. Jesus is in the people in Gaza. So my hope is that we have more opportunities to see Jesus in the suffering. And when we see the suffering, we aren't blind to it. It's not hidden from us. So the more we see it, you know, it doesn't mean things are getting worse. It means things are becoming unveiled. And I see opportunity for all of us to find love and compassion in our hearts for the suffering we see around us. And I don't know if that means the world is going to get better anytime soon or not. Honestly, I do have faith that ultimately all will be well, but also I'm not necessarily optimistic, because I think that things may we may see more of what seems worse before it really starts to get better. I don't know if that answer is just, that is as honest as I can be, but I don't know how helpful it is.
No, I thought it was very helpful. Wesley says, in reading Studs Terkel's Hope Dies Last, I see a lot of optimistic stories in difficult times. It looks more like accompaniment, admittedly wonderful. But isn't hope something different? Light in darkness, something out of nothing, life from death. Yeah, I think that's it. I like that a lot. And I think it goes with what you were just saying, Lindsay, about Christ showing up in the vulnerable. That's apocalypse means, it doesn't mean end of the world destruction. It means revelation about God. That's what it literally means. It's an unveiling or a revealing. And where do you find, it's a revealing of where you find God in the world. Where is Jesus? Where is God? God is with, as you just said, Lindsay, with the vulnerable, with those who are at the border. Like, that's where you're going to find God. And how we treat what Jesus in Matthew 25 says, the least of these is how we treat God. That's where you find God. And when we exclude those who are at the border for any reason, we're excluding God. And that, I think, is the light in the darkness that Wesley is talking about there. Paul says, I don't always quote Paul, but when I do, in Romans 8:24, he says, for in this hope we were saved, but hope that is seen is no hope at all. So there's that's the apocalyptic revelation of hope. It's not something that you can see with your eyes. Like, you can't see Jesus in the refugees, in the pilgrims who are at the borders, like with your physical eyes, but you can see it through the eyes of faith, right? You can see it. That's where hope is, I think, this light in the darkness. It's not an optimism, to me, is more like something that's just like, that's more, I guess, human. Hope is a theological virtue. Hope is what the spiritual aspect of it, I guess. It's where things just seem to be falling apart, like in these apocalyptic stories. But out of it, something new is growing. Something new is birthing in the world. The text, the lectionary contrast or has the other reading is from the book of Jeremiah. And in Jeremiah, everything is falling apart. The Babylonians are coming in and they're destroying the city. And Jeremiah speaks a word of hope into this apocalyptic situation where everything seems to be falling apart. And Jeremiah says, there is going to be a new branch growing out of this. That's hope for me. Like, there's nothing optimistic about what's happening in this situation where the Babylonians are taken over and destroying everything. Hope is that which isn't seen, that you can't see with your physical eyes, but it's emerging. It's growing like a new branch. Something new is coming out of this.
Yeah. And I do have this, I mean, it's difficult. It's paradoxical because on the one hand, I do see deterioration. You know, I see irreversible climate change, and I see a lot of awakening to climate change, while at the same time policies that will continue to take us in a very destructive and terrifying direction. And I see wars just continuing, and I see more people waking up to the damage, and yet they continue. But I feel like the more we see, the more, hope is what we don't see, but it's the more we can see of the destruction, the more we awaken to it, the more, the more something can be done about it, you know, the more we can, and the more we see the suffering around us, the more we can connect to the people who are suffering and help them in tangible ways, you know. And I think there is hope in that. I didn't know as much about immigration issues a few years ago as I know now. And it was because I was occupied with other terrible things happening. I mean, immigration is a wonderful thing, but the fear surrounding it is what's terrible. And I was concentrating on the wars and everything, which I still am concentrating on. But to use the crisis at our southern border as an example, and it has become a crisis because there are troops firing on asylum seekers. But those asylum seekers have been coming for years and years and years, and we didn't see it. Now it's thrown into such a sharp relief, and maybe something good will be done now. Now more and more people really understand that there are people in crisis because of U.S. policies that happened years ago, generations ago, and continued. Like, they started generations ago and continued. So they're not new, and all these things that people are fleeing are not new. And now we're so awake to it, maybe something good can come. I feel like we're falling asleep to our wars overseas, but we need to wake up to those too.
Yeah, Jesus says in here, be alert at all times. So don't fall asleep to the wars. Don't fall asleep to climate change and all of these things. But at the same time, don't fall asleep to the good things that are happening in the world too. Oftentimes we can just, like, the news just, like, hits us with all kinds of negative stories, but there are good things that are happening in the world too. Jesus says in this parable, look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is already near. Right. Mm-hmm. So, like, the world is still a good place. Like, there are still good things that are happening in the world. Genesis chapter 1 still is true. God made the earth and it was good. And you can see the new life that is being born in it. So I think that's also part of the hope. Is it's like the Fred Rogers quote, right? Like, look at those who are entering into these crisis moments and helping.
Right. And right. Look to them and then become them, you know, feel the calling in yourself to go and be the help. Because, yeah, if we don't feel it within ourselves, then the helpers don't exist. I mean, sometimes we do have to see the model before we can imitate it. And that's exactly what is coming into the world, the model for us to imitate it. The one who entered into the suffering with us and shows us how to be in this suffering world.
Absolutely. You know? Yep. Amen. Amen to that, my friend. Yes. So those are our thoughts on this first Sunday of year C, which is Advent Hope. So we would love to know what you think. Thank you for watching this. And if you have comments or questions, leave them in the comment section there. And we will plan to see you next Wednesday at 10 o'clock Central, 8 o'clock Pacific for another, what are we calling it? Girardian
virtual Bible study, unless we think of something better between now and then.
I like it. If you have better thoughts on a name, let us know. And until then, peace be with you. Bye-bye.